Holy Spirit led our seniors group is to the week it's going to be the 80s, they have the ice cream social. That is just so inspired. That's and then afterwards they'll do the slip and slide out back, the seniors. So nice crowd this morning. It's a good looking crowd for the early service. Matthew chapter 5, if you would. Matthew chapter 5. My dad was quite a philosopher. He had all these little sayings that my sisters and I and other relatives, we quote to this day. 3 days does not a week make. You're looking with your eyes shut. If you ever ask him, how you doing, Dad? He'd always say, wonderful. Things are better than I anticipated. When you ask him, what do you do for a living? He would say, I'm a manager. They tell me what to do, and I manage to do it. He would say, life's a struggle. Life's hard, then you die. Nothing's easy. Some advice on relationships he gave me. Son, the world's full of two kinds of men. Those who admit they're henpecked and liars. And then there was the night before I got married. He came to me and he laid his hand on my shoulder. He said, son, there's only two ways to treat a woman. And I don't know either one. Good luck. I learned a lot about life from my dad. Some of it I've had to unlearn. Most of it was pretty valuable, especially when I felt like life wasn't going my way, like whatever I was doing wasn't really working, that things were kind of going in the reverse. He taught me that you're not going to win every bout. You're going to, but if you'll keep going, if you keep pressing forward, if you'll just trust, because life's not easy, but it does pay off if you just keep going. Well, where do we go when we need to measure what we've been taught against a more objective standard? You know, we get some things stuck in our craw, or we get a pattern of thinking that isn't always healthy. And we may learn in time, this isn't working. It may have been what we were taught, but it might not be correct, or it may have been right in its day. But times might have changed a little bit since then. So where do we go for advice? Because the advice we follow makes all the difference in the world. And of course, you know where I'm going with this. The faith factor today is Jesus teaches me. I follow him. He is the Word. So the Word of God, I follow Jesus. I read an article yesterday, came across my newsfeed, 17 or 18 reasons why people are leaving the church. And I thought, well, I'll look at that. And most of the items in it had to do with the LGBTQ agenda, and the church just isn't changing with the times and all of that. We've got an anchor. We've got the truth. And we're going to follow the Lord. The world's going to change left, it's going to change right, it's going to be tossed back and forth. But we know what the end of all of that is. And it's not up to us to change the Word of God, it's for the Word of God to change us. So Jesus teaches me, and I'm not ashamed of that fact. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at those blessings. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They will be comforted. They will inherit the earth, for they will be filled. They will be shown mercy. They will see God. They will be called the children of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's pretty powerful stuff. Father, we want that. We want that. The world's going elsewhere because that's not what they want. But their end is death. And even their path is destruction. They can't see it. They're blind. But Lord, thank you for the light. Help us this morning to be fortified, to be strengthened in our commitment to follow you. The world's getting louder in its protests against what is true and right, but that doesn't make what they're saying right. It's wrong. It's still wrong. So, Lord, help us to be a light that shines nice and bright in this dark generation of ours until it's all lit up. And we'll thank you for your help here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 stands out from all of Jesus' teaching. It's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. He taught a lot, but you'll get little snippets here and there. This is the one sermon we have pretty much intact. Matthew dedicates 3 chapters of his gospel just to the Sermon on the Mount. We're kind of in the introduction of that here today. Jesus isn't teaching in parables. He's not giving everybody a mystery that they need to decipher. This is the truth, plain and simple. You'll note his audience here. His disciples came to him. Always he was going about, there were crowds this side and that side of the lake. Some were for him, some were against him. Everybody wanted something out of him. The people who he had fed with physical food wanted more free lunches and all of that. They had a kerfuffle over that. But these are his disciples. They didn't show up for a happy meal. They weren't looking necessarily for a healing. They're there because they're his disciples. They want to hear what Jesus has to say. Now, all of these folks had come with a faith intact. They were of the Jewish race. They were raised in Israel. They had been to synagogue and temple and all of that. They were taught scriptures, even if they weren't following the scriptures, even if they weren't attending synagogue and all of that. They were steeped in a culture that just had the scripture everywhere. And there were reminders of what God had done and said and wanted throughout their community. So they came, they had a faith even before Jesus came on the scene, and there were certain things about what they were taught and what they took from what they were taught that needed to be reprogrammed. You ever need to be reprogrammed? Gentlemen, your mom and dad raised you well, and you were pretty satisfied, and then you got married, and you found out you needed to be reprogrammed. It's not going to go according to what you thought was the way to go. And the Lord is, I don't know about you, but he's always working on me. And I appreciate that he keeps it up. There are some things that I get in my mind. I allow them to bully me, to push me around, to push me down, to keep me from having the full faith that I need to have. And every once in a while, I need the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to come by and just tap me. Hey, you know, that's not really true, or that's not balanced. It might be true, but you're leaning a little too far one way, and you need to come back this way. So these folk had an opportunity to go to synagogue and temple and everything else, like I say. And Jesus is this itinerant preacher who's out there in the wilderness a lot of times. They had to go out to be with him. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't comfortable. They didn't have padded pews out there in the wilderness areas or anything like that. But Jesus had something. He had a spark that they had not found in their religious experience. There was a juice. There was a flavor to when Jesus was teaching. You could almost picture them sitting in synagogue. Wake me up when it's over. Because they said when Jesus taught, he taught with authority. And even when they went to arrest him the one time, remember what the guards came back and said? Nobody ever taught like this guy taught. You know, it just was, there was something special. And so they thronged. They went after him from wherever he was. Jesus was full of life, joy, and light. He was on a better track than they were. And they said, we're not sure exactly what all you got, but we want that. And so Jesus called for a teaching session. He sat down on the side of the mountain, and his disciples came to him, and he taught them. He began to, well, of course he, be, well, that's what he, right? That's disciples, teachers teach, and so on. But don't just pass that by. Who's teaching them? God came down and spent some time with us. Emmanuel, God, what I said a few moments ago, when they experienced it, we're there too. Jesus came to talk to us. He loves teaching. Don't you love good teaching? I like entertainment too, and I love sports and all. I scream and hit the couch or whatever, and throw the dog across the room. But good teaching, I mean, that's the meat and potatoes. I don't eat dessert anymore, but when I used to love dessert and all. But even then, I liked a good meal. If you gave me a choice between just going straight to dessert or having a good, I prefer the good meal. And I like good teaching. And could you imagine being there with Jesus? Nobody could read a crowd like Jesus. And he gave you what you needed that day. And sometimes it was, woohoo! And sometimes, ooh. But it was always, satisfying when you were done. And Jesus sat down, his disciples came, and he began to teach them. But what he said always, I hadn't heard it put that way before. I didn't think of it that. Or maybe it just came out of left field and it just hit you like, that's not what we were taught. That sounds counter to what we had learned with the rabbis and all. I got to chew on that. I'm going to take that home with me. I'm going to think about that for a while. For example, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed. I've heard a lot of good preaching on this particular verse. It's a lot of good stuff. But if I could boil it down for you today to one word, I'd say that word was humble. Blessed are the humble, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Humble is welcomed into the arms of God. Pride is resisted. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You learn humility. You learn to walk low. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Get to the low part. Take the low seat in it all. When you become humble, you are walking in the kingdom of God. The world teaches us pride. Now we've got Pride Month, and we've got all this stuff putting in our face, and you want to win. And we are the champions, my friend. No time for losers and all of that. You know, pride. Now God said, you want to track God? Get down low. In fact, you want to attract good relationships? Get down low. Serve and love. If you're in a competition with your spouse, quit. Just quit. Just get humble. How can I bless you? How can I serve you? You're right. You're good. I'm the lucky one to have you in my life. Get humble. Humility ushers you into the presence of God. Not what a great prize I am, not trying to defend a character flaws or whatever, just, Lord, I have no idea. I just read this last week what David had said to the Lord, who am I and what is my family that you should speak this way to me? Do you treat everybody this way? That was his question. Great question. And is this your normal way with people? Get humble. A good test on this is, who's your hero? Who do you idolize? What kind of of television do you like to watch? What are your fantasies about? Are you the Incredible Hulk? Is that a godly picture at all? Who's your hero? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Get down nice. Because if you don't get this one right, don't worry about the rest of them. You're not going to understand them. You're not going to move forward in what the Lord has to say. For another example here, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Wow. Look forward to mourning. I've been in seasons of grief, and I really don't care for it myself. It's kind of hard, but happy, blessed, you're in a good place when you're in a season of mourning. Embrace grief. Learn from it. Don't just let it hurt. Find God in the middle of your grief. I have gotten so close to God in times of grief. He teaches me there. He teaches me about the brevity of my life. Their life is gone. I was just with them the other day, and man, they look so... It teaches me to embrace the people I still have in my life. We're only together for a little while. And we need to cherish that. The hotter the grief burns, the more soothing the salve that God gives us, the comfort. Comfort is all academic. We can talk about it. Blessed are they who mourn, because they will be comforted. But when you're hurting, that's when the value of comfort is shown. Wow, it really does help. It really does work. We walk through it. We share with one another. I remember the last time we lost a pet. It was just really, really hard. And I remember Tim Ruth saying to me that he had observed that the first 3 days were the hardest. And I thought, that's kind of strange or whatever. But I experienced that myself, that after 3 days, it kind of started getting a little bit better. But it gave me a little hope. Get through these first 3 days. Within those first 3 days, I found myself walking through Walmart, and I'm just crying like, tears are... I did that yesterday, too, but it was about the prices. But it was, you know... But yeah, we learned from one another. Tim experienced a little bit of comfort, and he shared it with me. Hey, you know, it gets a little better after a couple of days. And I found out that was true, and that's a good thing. Jesus teaches me in times of sorrow. I learn a lot because of grief. Now, catch this. This hit me when the Lord gave it to me. Comfort is worth having grieved. Comfort is worth... When you've been through grief and you've received some comfort, you've got something now. In fact, Paul said, you've got something so valuable that God comforts us in all of our grief so that we can comfort others wherewith the comfort we were comforted. He told that to the Corinthians. And it's true. And you've experienced it. Because there have been times when you've heard somebody talking about something, you say, well, I kind of wonder what that's like. And there's other times you hear somebody say, oh, and you say, oh, man, I know exactly what that's like because I was through that. And man, this is what the Lord showed me. And the other person can drink that in. You're able to share because you got it shared with you. How did you get comfort? Well, you told somebody you were hurting, and then they told you how they got some comfort out of it, and they started thinking like this, and you thought, that's a good thought. I'm going to hold on to that too. Thank you. That helped me. And you gather some scriptures together. You're in your private devotions. The Lord's speaking. Oh, that's a good verse. And so you take that verse, and then you give it to somebody else. Comfort is worth having grieved. It doesn't feel like it when you're in the grip of the grief. You say, well, I'd rather not have the comfort. I just keep the grief away. But God says, no, I need to load you up because you're going to be meeting people who have a significant need. And unless you've been in that valley yourself, you won't know what you're talking about. You can quote somebody who's been through the valley, but it's different. You know, there's something about the look in somebody's eye. There's something about the look on their face. You know whether they're engaged or not. If they're looking over your shoulder, yeah, well, God bless you, you know. You know, all things work together for good. You know, but if they're following your eyes and you can see their facial expression and you know they're connecting with you through that, and then you can deliver the goods that God has helped you with. So while you're grieving, and well, Lord, I don't know what I'm learning in this and I'm not sure about it. Well, it's okay. You can even say, God, thank you for the grief. And there's something about grief that, to me, adds value to the one that I feel the loss over. You know, I opened with my dad's philosophies, and so dad's been gone for a couple years now, and it's a joy to see him smile in that picture, but there's also a little bit of tug on the heart. Dad, I miss you. I can't, how many times I could have called and I didn't. Boy, would I love to give you a call today and chat it over with you. Comfort is a medicine we can pass along to others. And you can't get it any other way than having experienced grief firsthand for yourself. When our heart is wounded, we're a magnet for comforting truths. These things might have been being said all along, but we didn't hear them. Or we thought, I need to remember that, but we don't. But when your heart is wounded, it's open. And these things stick like refrigerator magnets. And then when you need them, oh, yeah, here it is. I've experienced that for myself. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We value champions. Kung Fu. I don't know about you, but I can't get into that MMA, the mixed martial arts. I'm getting soft in my old age, I guess, but I just can't watch people beating on one another any longer. Just kicking and punching and, you know, they got them down on the ground. They pow, 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 pow. I have trouble with that anymore. But the Lord says, blessed are the meek. Marvel Comics hasn't come out with a meek man yet. You know, they got Iron Man and Spider-Man and Wonder Woman, but no meek man. And that's where I say, you know, the philosophy of the world, and then there's the philosophy of Christ. And what are you gonna follow here? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the meek are promised that they will inherit the earth. When the dust settles, the meek will be large and in charge. It's not the loud and the brash and the violent, but the godly will rise. The meek are patient, walk by faith, cry out to God. So far we're humble, we're hurting, we're mourning, and we're meek. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hunger and thirst for they're trying their best to reprogram us today. They're trying to make wrong right and right wrong, and make us feel guilty for wanting what's right, and make us filled with pride when we get it wrong. And there's this massive reprogramming that's going on right now. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Where does that come from? That comes from the Lord, and it only comes from God. And we need to stay connected to him. And we need to, you know, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of the soul. And so I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I got a new hat the other day. I was in the gym, and there was a new older fella who showed up at the gym. And I had my Expect Jesus shirt on. And he come across with this big smile, and he had a Steeler hat on. And he stuck out his hand, and he said, I love your shirt. I said, I love your hat. And he took his hat off, and he put it on my head. He says, you just got a new hat, son. And I said, no, I don't want to take it. And he said, oh, I got lots of hats, he said, but I love that shirt. I kept my shirt on. But I wore the hat home. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be. Oh, there. I can't think of anything I need more, that I want more than God's mercy. I don't know about you, but I need boatloads of mercy. My thought life sometimes, the things that I say, I don't know what it's about old men, but we have less of a filter than we used to have. We don't hesitate like we used to hesitate, and we need to a lot of times. And I need mercy. And it tells me here, if I will be merciful, I'll be shown mercy. And so I want that active in my life. I can't think of a more valuable gift than the mercy of God. And I know we're running out of time, so it's so hard for an old preacher to preach this much text in just one service, but let's take these three verses together. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So lumping them together, a pure heart, not a dirty mind. A peacemaker, not a troublemaker. A person willing to take one for the team, for God's team. We will see God. We will resemble him. And we will inherit the kingdom of heaven. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. This then is how you should live. Humble, hopeful, meek, longing for righteousness, merciful, clean, making peace, taking hits with grace. Desire that clean mind, that good heart that comes from God. So how do you measure up to Jesus' pattern, his way of thinking, his way of acting and responding? You know, if you trust him, you'll live it his way. If he says, feed your enemies, you'll feed your enemies. If he says, bless those who curse you, you'll bless those who curse you. If he says, wait until marriage, you'll wait until marriage, because it's his kingdom. It's his world. He's the one that blesses. And so I want his blessing. I like people to like me. I like an attaboy. You know, that's all well and good. But nobody blesses like God can bless. Doesn't come any other way. And I have found out when I follow the world, I get messed up like the world. But when I follow Jesus, he makes everything right. Blessed are you when you follow the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning? You and I were made to worship.
The day before the light, before the world revolved around the sun, God on high stepped down into time and wrote the story of his love for everyone. He has filled our hearts with wonder, so that we always remember, you and I are made to worship, you and I are called to love, you and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, when you and I choose to believe, you and I will see who we were meant to be. Is all a gift from God that we receive. Brought to life, we open up our eyes see the majesty and glory of the King. He has filled our hearts with wonder, so that we always remember you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I enjoyed that this morning. I enjoyed teaching this morning. And one thing you need to know about all of that is I'm a mess before I get up into the pulpit. I'm scared. I'm not going to remember anything. I'm not going to be able to do. And then the Holy Spirit helped. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? It's discovering our gifts and just being open to Him, helping us in our weaknesses. Father, thank you for who you are. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you. Lord, where we're delusioned, where we're deceived, where we have made up our mind that we're going to just do it this way anyway, oh, Lord, get our attention and help us. Help us, God, to be humble. Help us, Lord, to be reduced. Help us to walk in the vein of God. Not our own way, but your way. Oh, certainly help us not to go the world's way. And please, may we walk in such a way that others will start to follow. That they'll understand, just like they followed you. Oh, they had a religion already, and they had their way of doing things, but then there was Jesus. And a lot of them had been prostitutes and tax collectors and the worst of sinners. And when they saw you, they started following. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, make us Pied Pipers for Jesus. Just may we get it right ourselves, and may that just attract the people right up out of the world. And we'll thank you for your help in it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hope you'll stick around for a little snack there in the back. We can have a conversation with you.